All right, man. Thank you for coming on the show. I guess I haven't actually said this out to anyone yet, but this is actually, I took a little bit of a hiatus from the show, and this is actually going to be the launch of season two of the Audiophile Collective. So you're the first
Hey,
guest on it. Welcome.
horn effect. Bow, bow. Add those in and some applauses.
Just waiting for the applause to end. There
Yeah,
we go.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man, you've had a really busy year. You put out an EP, Life, Death, and Afterwards, on February 26th, which I love the title. I want to talk about a couple of things in it. Well, first of all, the songs and also the artwork.
So for the artwork, sorry, I'm also just simultaneously making sure my audio is working. So for the artwork, I kind of collected a bunch of different things, and I kind of seem to make almost like a lookbook or style guide for these kinds of things for me to follow, just so it's easier for a lot of things. And also I just like when things look cohesive. But so for the artwork, it's actually inspired by a poem by E.E. Cummings called Suppose. And that poem is about three characters sitting in a cafe, and one of them is called Life, one of them's Death, one of them's Afterwards. And it's a poem that just really resonated with me. I don't know, something about it was just so like visual in my head. Like I could really see how it was all laid out. And it's just like there's just so many layers to this one poem. Like he, I mean, he was one of my favorite poets, but this one poem specifically, it just has this essence about it. Just the same as like when you hear a song, you don't know why it's great, or and it could be seem pretty basic, or it's older, but it just kind of rings out. And yeah, so this poem really kind of hit me, and I so I like drew it out one day, and then eventually over time, I kind of thought about how that poem is related to the album in terms of like a beginning, middle, and end, and life, death, afterwards. And one of the meanings in that poem is the concept that, what are the flowers you leave behind? And, death will take everything from life, but afterwards likes flowers. And, well, because in the poem, this character Life is selling flowers, and it's an old man, and then Death buys them from them and then gives them to Afterwards, and she really likes flowers. That's kind of the essence of the poem. So and this is a very long-winded explanation, but for that I kind of drew it out, and I was able to work with my friend Jazz, Fleck Creative on Instagram. And so I kind of showed her my sketch, and then I had a color palette that I loved and wanted to use, and then I sent all these different types of references from like Romain Cassas to some other like more abstract artists with like faceless paintings and things like that, and kind of just consolidated like one big file and sent it all over. And she was able to like translate my thoughts with the colors and this poem into, and literally my drawing just into magic. So yeah, I really like art directing. I like making videos and stuff too, and so not only music but on the visual side. And then after that, that was my turn to like, after I got the painting, to process it and make it into a an album cover, and where to put the font, and all the font choices and endless spaces and opportunities for it to be. But yeah, so that was a very long explanation to anyone listening. Don't worry, it won't be that hefty later on for other questions. But yeah, it was a really fun process to do. I was really excited, and I just love, I like making album artwork. I've done it for few other people in the past, but yeah, so that one was a really special one.
Yeah, this one sounds a lot more personal to you. Do you remember how you came across the poem?
I think it was just in a, I have one of his books. I don't know which poetry collection it is. There's two, and it might be in like the literally like the 100 best poems by E. Cummings, like one of those consolidated ones. And yeah, I think that's the one, 'cause it's, I mean, I really like E. E. Cummings, but there's a lot of stuff that is interesting to get through. So it's actually nice to kind of read like the 100 best poems or something like that too. And I suggest it to everybody. But yeah, that's, I just remember like so vividly, like reading it in my bed in my old place in Toronto and in Ossington. And I, yeah, I can still remember that. And I can still remember the way it feels. And then drawing it out and seeing it come to life is pretty awesome.
Sure. And you draw, I'm sure that that poem helped, well, clearly drew a lot of inspiration to you. And you actually just mentioned your old place in Toronto. You moved out of the city not too long ago.
Yes. Yeah. We hopped around a few places, like, but yeah, now, basically, I think it was, we were, so COVID for Canada was like the main thing was March. That was the start date. So we were like, I was in Toronto with my partner, Hannah, and we were in Toronto till June or July. And then, yeah, we moved to Prince Edward County for this, for the summer. And now we're here still. I don't know when I'm coming back, but it was really nice. Like we, you know, we had Toronto probably at its scariest point, which is what made us move. But it also was just an opportunity to like, okay, well, we've thought about doing it. Like, have I ever, I've never lived out of the city or like a big suburb or what's it like elsewhere. And I've already been familiar with it. So I moved east out of Toronto to Prince Edward County in old wine country kind of thing. And it's pretty nice. And I live across from a cemetery, which has been really nice and spooky and quiet and been writing some good stuff from it. So yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that writing in Prince Edward County, and you had spent some time there before, I had you played some shows out there before?
Yeah, we actually, I used to be in this trio that toured across like the East Coast, and one of our very first shows was in Prince Edward County at this like barn party, like a for real, like a pig roast, like cooking in the ground underneath, like I don't know, like underneath some big leaves under the dirt, and like, and then they brought it up and it was like some big thing. It was a solstice party, and we played in this barn, and it was like one of the best shows I've ever played, like hands down. It's still one of my favorites. It's really crazy. Yeah.
Do you find that your history in Prince Edward County, and again getting away from the city, has any of the inspiration moving there translated into your songwriting?
A little bit. Like nothing that I can see now, nothing that I can for sure see at the moment, but I think there's going to be something later that I'll be like, oh yeah, that's definitely because I was out of the city. Like I know I definitely have a bit more of a clear space. I feel like I feel a little less confined, to write some things. So, but there's nothing like super, super influential, but I think that's also cause I've been working on a lot of songs trying to finish up an album that kind of started before. So, I mean, regardless, in moving here for sure has allowed me to create some music and some demos and go a direction that I probably wouldn't have been able to go to based even just on like volume and stuff of being in a Toronto apartment, or, you know, even vice versa at times being quieter in the house and things like that. So there's definitely like the scenery for sure will do something no matter what for me, I think.
Life, Death, and Afterwards, did you record that in Prince Edward County, or were you in Toronto when you were recording that?
Oh, no. Like the, yeah, no, I recorded it a full year in advance in LA with a producer friend, Dave Sermonera. He's done a lot of the Father John Misty stuff and Dawes and people like that. And so I was able to have some awesome players like Griff, the drummer from Dawes, play on the record and things like that. And it was really, really great. So I did that in November 2019. And then it came out in 2021 February. So it was done really far in advance. Somehow I was still chasing myself behind trying to make music videos. But yeah, so that was all done really, really, really far in advance. And there's another piece of the puzzle. The last final song comes out tomorrow, which is May 14th. So if you're listening to this later, it's already out, and it's called Dog-Eared, and it's the last piece of this this EP that didn't get released on the EP. And it's like one of my favorites.
It was originally announced to be on the EP.
Yes, it was. And then, yeah, I can't even go into it. It didn't make it on, but I think it's a nice thing for it to have its own moment anyways, for it to kind of, I don't know, have its own breath of air and people listen to it and it doesn't fall beneath the cracks under some other song. So yeah, I'm really excited. I'm looking on the definitely the bright side of that to see it out on its own, have its own identity. I just hope that it does well.
Yeah, and I mean, I can speak from personal experience because I have seen you perform the song live in the past. Very excited to hear the studio version of it. So yeah, again, for those of you listening, watching anything right now, that is up on streaming services, so check that out. Something else I wanted to chat with you about. So on May, let's just go back in time a little bit. So you were originally scheduled to play a show at the Great Hall, and obviously the world shut down. But in another way, you were able to go back to the Great Hall and you were able to provide a little bit of a different experience with Capacity One. For the people listening, I was wondering if you could just take us through the concept of Capacity One.
Totally. Yeah, I would love to. And great questions and research and everything. It's awesome. Yeah, I did this little thing that hopefully I'll be extending even outside of COVID and also just in general to other artists, a little series called Capacity One. I started that with my manager. We're hoping to make it its own entity, but what it was essentially is I put out a draw for 10 people, 10 winners to be have a literal one-on-one session. So we had this really dramatic at a secret location, which we then did at the Great Hall, and we had a really dramatic spacing between both of us, some candles, really dark, moody, and foggy kind of vibes going on. And then people showed up, and beforehand they would give us their drink order, and then during the show they would tell us I'd ask them, "What's your favorite song of mine?" And then I would play that song for them plus a few more. So I did 10 micro shows in a day, which was crazy. And yeah, it was super spread apart, kind of playing off the whole COVID thing at a super exaggerated distance, as well as between every person we followed all protocols that all businesses had to do, so like immediate sanitization and new glasses of well, of course new glasses, but whole new sets of everything, which was pretty yeah, it was pretty intense. We definitely learned a lot about what businesses go through at this time as well. So that was just one day for us. So yeah, it was really great, and it was this big, reverberating room with just me, a guitar, and them sitting across with either alone or with a significant other. So that was really, really special. And if you're listening, I'd encourage you check out 10 Kills a Pack. You'll see on Instagram, you'll see a little slide that says that, or you can check out Capacity One.
Great. Playing those such like personal shows, did you find it was there were any challenges associated with playing just in front of one or two people as opposed to an entire audience?
Yeah, I definitely was more nervous for something like that. I feel way more exposed. I feel, yeah, I've said this even way before this show that I would much rather perform in front of X amount of people than just two people or one person. This, I think, felt better than I thought it would be. But it is definitely nerve-wracking. I think it's all context of where you are and stuff like that. This felt like definitely pretty special, and we filmed it, and the footage looks amazing. And so I think, yeah, the way we set it up made it feel a little more like a show, like a presentation, which kind of I think took a bit of those like one-on-one nerves off.
Yeah, and you're releasing other videos from that session as well. I don't know if you're allowed to answer this or not. Do we know when the next one is coming out?
Yeah, there'll be another one in about 2 to 3 weeks, and then another one after that as well.
Great.
From all songs from the latest EP.
Amazing. Okay, my last last couple questions for you here.
Keep going. All good.
Okay, so I don't know if you saw my email about the ticket stub thing. I don't know if you
had and I don't, because things are still, because we moved, things are still packed up. I have no like cool personal things because we weren't sure how long we'd be here. Right. But I was trying to think about at least a show. Like, I don't have a ticket stub to show, but one of my favorite shows that I think I have a ticket stub for was one of Hey Rosetta's last shows in Toronto, and that show was really special. I think I saw they did three nights at Sound Academy, and I think I saw I did two, and it was, I just really love that band and what they do, as you know, and for, you know, as far as Canadian music goes, they're definitely at the top of the list of talent. So it was, I don't know, just really special. There's something, because of course when any band comes to an end, it's really there's an energy, there's a vibe. So for two, I did two of those three nights, and it was really, really lovely. Just like a really lovely show, top to bottom. And they had a little slideshow, and as well as like a little movie thing combined, of like photos and stuff and videos from their previous years, like going through the ages, which was really, really emotional. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful band. I was fortunate enough. I saw them live when they played at, Gentlemen of the Road in Simcoe.
Oh, wow.
Opening for Mumford and Sons, of all bands.
That would have been really crazy for them. I can only imagine.
And now we've got Tim Baker's solo project, which is wonderful as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really great.
Would you ever want to work with anyone from Hey Rosetta? Or I know a lot of people don't like to work with bands that they, you know, or artists that they draw inspiration from or idolize, or in any way.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't want the illusion ruined, if it would be. Mm-hmm. What's your philosophy on that?
Well, I think it's... I don't know. I think it all depends. Like, I mean, someone I would want to work with would be the cello player from Hey Rosetta. His name's on the tip of my tongue, but he does some like, cool stuff on the side, and he's always playing on records and stuff. But I actually know Tim over the past few years. I've been able to, we've hung out. He's been up here on his way out to Newfoundland. Him and his wonderful partner Nico, who's also really, really great. She has a solo project, and they camped in our driveway on the way out as like a COVID safe place, like stop between here and Newfoundland, which was a crazy drive. So I mean, always looking to, I sang one of Tim's songs for like a protest. There was like a massive protest that happened last summer for it was like, what was that? The major like green environment protest. There was like a song that they wanted, and he couldn't make it. So he asked me to go sing it and lead this huge thing to like a couple, I don't know, 10 plus thousand people or something, which was pretty wild. But, I always would like to work with Tim, and I will actually be working with, we're going to be sharing a producer, Marcus, Pat Quinn. He did the latest Tim records, and that's who I'm going to work with my next album. So that's who I've been talking to. And he's done a bunch of other great records. Like, he just did the Weather Station record and things like that. So, so we're working on something right now.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible. Well, again, Sean, thank you for joining me on the show here. And we'll be playing the new song, Dog-Eared, on the show, as well as some songs off of Life, Death, and Afterwards. And again, to all of you listening, check out 10 Kills the Pack on social media and streaming services. And
Thank you. Check it out on streaming services. And also, what I want to try to start doing every interview is tell people, if you like a song, even if it's mine or anyone else's, any artist in general, send it to someone. That's like probably the best thing you could do, to be honest, is to send it to someone and be like, I think you might like this. Don't feel weird about it. Just do it. Just be like, boom, here's this song. And that's for any artist out there. So, hopefully that works out for you.
I think so. It'll be appreciated on both ends, I'm sure.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Tyler. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's so nice to see you again, Sean.